2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. So your first touchdown in the NFL was actually for the other team?
Yeah, yes.
But then I want to know how you won the...
It's a record, too. That's
what,
the
what
best
is it,
part.
94-yard return?
97. Yeah.
So you guys were driving.
It was third and five from the 8-yard line.
But that's not your first pass.
It wasn't my first pass
right,
in the NFL. But it was in a critical moment.
Right. Yeah. We're here at Tim Daly Infinity here in Murray, 45th South State Street, easy enough to find. Find the big beautiful Infinity insignia on top of the building and come in and see these beautiful cars. We're here all the way till 9 o'clock in the meantime, Scott. But how many touchdowns did you throw in the second half to be able to?
Three.
And what was the yardage
for
the day?
I had four on the day. So three were to our team,
right.
One to the other.
One
team.
To the other, yeah. Okay. But three in the second half is nothing to joke about. But
no.
Were your teammates?
It was when yards were actually real.
Who'd you throw them to?
I threw one to Tony Martin. I'm not sure. I don't remember the other two.
Did Mark Duper catch one?
He wasn't playing.
Oh, he wasn't.
So the receivers, OJ.
You threw
McDuffie.
A touchdown to Super Duper, though, didn't you?
He wasn't on. No, he was not. He was not on the team that year.
No,
that
I'm saying in your career. Oh, that was your last. Okay.
Yeah. All no, right. I never threw. No, those guys were gone.
I saw
Mark Clayton, Mark Duper were.
Mark
gone.
Duper, when I was a kid, was just like, I didn't like the Dolphins at all.
They were amazing.
But Super Duper, man, he caught everything.
I'm going to tell you, the Miami Dolphins were amazing.
I couldn't believe it
and I caught the tail end of Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. My rookie year, I'm just like, these guys are still, they're still good, they're still special.
Right. So there's an interesting little clip I want to play for you here. This is Yogi Roth, who is the, he hosts for the Pac-12 Network, and this is an interesting discussion about, well, he got to go through the, well, you can listen to it. And just, I want you to hear this. And it's about the College Football Selection Committee, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, how they go through all that, and basically a pitch from Yogi Roth and the Pac-12 Network to please consider the Pac-12. Take a listen to what he said about the Selection Committee and how they do things.
What I'm concerned with is our 13-member College Football Playoff Committee. Recently, I was allowed to go through a mock CFP selection, and I learned a great deal about the process. It's incredible, at times flawed, equally brilliant, and somewhat confusing. So to those members sitting at home, I ask you, will you trust your instinct when you watch Pac-12 Network, ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, and more this weekend? Specifically, will you allow your instinct to trust that Utah's defense is as real as anyone's in the nation when you watch them on Saturday? Or will you lazily lean back into the narrative that the only conferences that play defense are the Big Ten and the SEC? Will you trust your instinct that says Jaden Daniels is the most talented freshman quarterback in the nation and that Arizona State's wide receiver core is better than most? Will you let talking heads convince you that Georgia's one loss is an anomaly and they are a CFP team? Or will you trust your instinct that says they looked worse than Oregon in their loss to a fellow SEC team? Look, we are 3 weeks away from the first vote in Dallas by 13 of the most respected humans in college football. It is my hope that those individuals are watching the games and trusting what their experienced eyes and instinct says, instead of what history in this media market has created.
Scott,
well, you got to have less than two losses to start with.
Well, okay, so
that's
that.
That's one thing.
So now I want to. Here's the thing. Now,
just so you know, those 13 people, they don't watch every college football game.
Well, I was going to say
FYI.
That you've chatted with Ronnie Lott on this, and
he is one of the he's pretty special
and he's respected,
completely,
quite respected. But I think even the guys who are on the committee know that there is some flaw to this. Anytime you throw in any kind of human
element. It's subjective.
Element, of course. There's any human element, it's totally subjective. So the question is, how much of what Yogi Roth said is something that because I get it. You don't want to follow the narrative too much. But let's go with just our gut instinct here. Do you look at the Pac-12, the way that things have been played so far this year, and go, man, they absolutely have somebody in that college football playoff?
So if I'm trying to be as subjective as I possibly can.
No possible way, but go ahead.
Okay. I said as possible as I can.
Yeah, but you're like the college football playoff selection guys, yeah.
Look, Ronnie Lott played at USC.
Yeah.
There's always going to be but USC's in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a voice that's from here. I think that most conferences that there's probably – two, maybe three good teams in the conference. And then I think the rest are kind of – they're just on par with everyone else. So you have an Alabama and LSU. Those might be the two best teams in the SEC this year. And maybe Georgia's kind of a pretender this year. And maybe Auburn's kind of a pretender this year. But beyond that, that's it. Maybe Florida.
Sure.
Then you look in the Big Ten, and you've probably got Wisconsin and Ohio State. But Michigan, Michigan doesn't scare you. Penn State doesn't scare you. And then you look in the Big Ten or Big 12. Big 12, that's 14 teams. It's all so confusing. What do you have, Oklahoma? I mean, Texas has two losses. Now,
right.
Who else in the Big 12 is that other team in the conference? And so then you look at the Pac-12. And you really start to see – and really, I think you saw it last week. I believe there are two teams in the Pac-12 that, whether they make it or not, they should have consideration.
Well,
Oregon and Utah.
But they'll get it.
The only way they'll get the consideration, only way, Alex, they cannot lose another game.
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. And that's the way it should be.
Well, the way it should be.
And if they do look at it that way, then I'm okay with it, because I know the rest of the Pac-12 is, you know, like we saw early, I don't know what the score is at UCLA and Stanford, but UCLA was beating Stanford, and they still are. And so I think it's, you know, the rest of the teams in the Pac-12 aren't quite on par. And I think that's been the challenge with the Pac-12 is there hasn't been a dominant team. There's just been a lot of good teams. And maybe this year.
You know,
year,
we call that,
hopeful,
Scott, a lot of great parity in the Pac-12.
Right, and you don't want that. You want a superstar team like Alabama, and oh well, Tennessee, and oh well, Ole Miss, and oh well,
yeah.
Mississippi
Have
State.
Have your turn in 10 years, maybe.
Maybe.
Sure.
Once in a millennium, you're going to be that
but,
team.
But see, here's where I wanted to just. In this case, I look at it and I go, okay, the Pac-12 is. I mean, Utah and Oregon are kind of – I mean, Washington already lost its second game. And, you know, they might go to the – they might represent the North if something crazy happens in the Pac-12 championship.
Washington could be the Washington could be the team that is like the college football playoff buster for the
Pac-12. And don't count out
Chris
Peterson.
They could beat Oregon. They could beat Utah.
Sure.
And then hopes are dashed.
Right. And then they're in the – and they've dashed everybody else's hopes.
Right.
And then they go to the Rose Bowl with two losses. And that's and then Utah goes to the Holiday Bowl, you know, again. But the reality is that the way things are right now and the way that college football is watched is it starts on the East Coast and it works this way. And there are – you're absolutely just going to get people who go, oh, yeah, Utah. They seem like a nice team, right? Just like this backhanded whatever.
But there's no way they're going to compete with the SEC.
And that's what they say.
That's what they think.
Until they play them, and then the SEC excuses, oh, well, they were playing Utah. They weren't up for that game.
Right.
They didn't want to play in that game. Yeah. How many times we had to hear that, you know, just over the years. So I look at it, and I'm fine with what Yogi Roth is saying, but he's really just – to me, it falls on deaf ears. What you're saying to the college football playoff committee is, hey, you don't give enough eyeballs to the Pac-12, but the reality is the Pac-12 hasn't done enough to get the eyeballs yet.
Yep,
everybody's got a loss. Everybody's got a loss. We're only halfway through the season, and we're not even halfway through conference play. So you're not going to get the looks, Pac-12. It needs – honestly, there needed to be that 6-0 Utah team or that 6-0 Oregon team for everybody. I mean, Oregon gets some, like, looks. Utah is always going to be second on that because it's not Oregon. Somebody was like, well, I think Jeremy, our producer, was saying that today. Why is Oregon always getting all this attention? I was like, because they've been to the college football playoff. They've got this sexy, tall quarterback who's, you know, Justin Herbert, who everybody loves in their mock drafts.
See, and all of that stuff is TV-driven.
Of course.
That's the media influence on the games and on the playoffs.
All right, taking a break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back. Last 30 minutes here, we're going to be at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by, grab some goodies, or high-five Scott Mitchell, or get yourself a brand-new QX50 or Q50. Lease that thing for only $339 a month. Get the QX60, the 2020 QX60. That's a 7-seater. Lease that for just $449 a month. Man, you get the whole family in that thing. Stay right here with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.